Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word.
Hey! We're doing our Transforming Lives to Impact Their World series. Transforming lives to impact their world. That's what it's all about. That's why we're Impact Church, and we're transforming lives to impact their world. We dealt with Follow, Discover, Connect, and now we're doing Invite. That was right there in South Beach. It was with that lovely lady there. She held that on her head for like hours. It was just amazing. I thought it was so great. And so I decided I'd start preaching with her, and I just joined in, and she turned and looked at me and said, "I just want to get a picture." She says, "This will get in your heart. You'll never forget this." And I think she thought I was just messing around with her, you know, some guy just wanted a picture. But I said, "No, I'm with you. I'm preaching. Jesus does love people, I tell you. And they need to align themselves with the reality of that love. And so I'm with you. Good for you, sister." She's like, "Oh, praise Jesus." You know, so. But I thought I just had to get a picture. Jesus loves you. Right there in South Beach with thousands of kids just crazy stuff, but you got to know Jesus is there, and he loves them so deeply. So that's what I did for vacation. What'd you do? I went spring breaking with all the crazy, so it was good fun. So we started with our verb follow. So follow's a good one there. So follow, and the follow is, it's coming up right now. Follow, transforming lives, impact their word, follow. There it is. And you know, we want people to follow Jesus, right? We want people, that's the first thing, is we want people to encounter Jesus. Not a church, not a philosophy, not a religion, not a set of doctrines, and this is what we believe. Because we want people to get connected with Jesus. We really want you to encounter him, not just on one occasion, not just the first thing you do, but we want you to constantly embrace the fact that I know my sheep hear my voice, they follow me. So I don't want you to hook you up with a pastor, hook you up with a church, hook you up with an institution. I want to put you in connection with Jesus, the love of your soul, so you can follow him. Now back in their days, the Pharisee message was change and you can join us. You know, you got nasty issues, and if you would change, then you could be a part of our club. And that's sadly what the messages of the church is somewhat today. You know, like, we would baptize you, but we want to make sure you're really clean before we put you through our tank. You need to take a good shower before we can get you through our tub. It's just crazy stuff. But Jesus' message is, join me and you can change. I mean, just come, get connected with me, get hooked up with me, encounter my life, my presence, not just one little drink, but get whacked in the glory so that it invades your life forever and you'll never be the same. And you'll be so desirous of that that nothing else will satisfy when you've had the real deal. So we want people to encounter Jesus. And in that, you're going to discover. So the next thing is, you'll discover. So people need to discover some stuff. When you know where you come from and you know why you're here, you can live intentionally and freely. Say intentionally. You can live intentionally. There's a lot of people living not intentionally. They're living randomly. They're living carelessly. They don't know what's going on. The Word of God says, do not be foolish, but be wise, knowing what the will of God is. Knowing what the will of God is. When you get into a relationship with Jesus, you know who you are, who he is, why you're here. You begin to discover what your life is all about, and you begin to live intentionally, and you live freely. As each one of you received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. We're all different. Ain't that good? And we're all very, very unique and very wonderful. We've all got specific gifts and talents that at Impact Church, we don't want you just to fill a chair now. Now just follow Jesus, fill a chair, come every week, plunk the bucket, and listen to me. We want you to discover what God has for your life, where he's planted you, what your gifts, abilities, and talents are, and we want you to begin to manifest those things. Can I get a hallelujah? So we want you to really discover what's going on. We want you to connect. Connecting is important. Connecting is important. You know, the devil would try to disconnect you. The devil would try to isolate you. The devil would try to put you away. But this is a connections thing. Because you cannot be the church on your own. The church is, in definition, a collection of people that are called out together. It's a group of people. It's not individuals. If you're an individual, you're not in the church. You got to be connected. Know where you're connected. Know where God wants. He puts each one in the body as he wills. That's what he said. I put each one in the body as I will. People say, should I go to your church? I say, I don't know. Talk to him. Because he's the one who decides that. I think you should because it's really great and I love it. But I'm not going to make that life decision for you. You talk to him. He's going to place you here and you're going to know you're here. Not because it's the best dog and pony show in town. But because that's where God wants to plant you to grow and manifest his gifts and callings in your life. Thousands and thousands of people right now not in the will of God. Because they're all supposed to be right here at Impact Church. In the name of Jesus, we break off the deception. We break it off. We loose them into their... Thousands and thousands. Not only in London, but all over this country and beyond. Can I get a hallelujah? Sheila, can I get a glory to God over there? Woo! All right. 59 one another commands in the New Testament. 21 involve love. Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you. If the old covenant's gone, I'm going to give you a new covenant. The old covenant had commandments. The new covenant has a commandment. It's one commandment. You know, this is it. It's not love the Lord your God with all your soul, your heart. That was old covenant. The new commandment is love one another as I have loved you. You can't even love one another till you get the as I have loved you thing going on. Because when you get the as I have loved you thing going on, the loving others thing, it's easy. No, it's not, Pastor. Well, you're striving in the old covenant. Love thy neighbor as thyself. No, love your neighbor as Jesus loved you. Ah, that's so good, eh? And you can do that because you're so ridiculously loved. How many want to love your neighbor like you love yourself? There's a lot of people who don't even love themselves very good. So be nice to your neighbor, for goodness sake. My goodness. You got to hate on for you. I mean, you can do better for your neighbor. But when you got the love of Jesus all over you, man, it breaks you through. All right, so connecting. John 13:35, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Man, that's good stuff right there. Hey, I moved a mountain with one word. But if you didn't have love, nothing. But love. Let me show you a greater way. Love. Thank you, Joey. Praise Jesus. Loving. All right, we're moving on to invite. We're doing invite. We're going to move on really quickly. Got Cheryl in the front row. She will be the official timekeeper. Invite. Thank you for that, Cheryl. You can count me down if you need to. Once you've encountered Jesus, you want to invite others. That's what happens. 1 John 1:41-42, Andrew found Jesus. I mean, he has this encounter with Jesus. Andrew went to find his brother Simon and told him, we have found the Messiah, which means the Christ. Then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. If you've really encountered Jesus, you want everybody else to meet Jesus. If you've really encountered Jesus, you want everyone else to meet your dog. No, you want everybody to meet Jesus. Don't you? If God has been so good to you, woo, you want to invite. And inviting is a part of our culture. Inviting and inviting other people to meet Jesus is a part of our culture. Luke 2:17, and seeing him, the shepherds told everyone. And then Anna, she talked about the child to everyone who'd been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. People out there are waiting for rescue. People out there are waiting for some good news. And you know, when you've encountered the good news, if you're in the woods and you know the way out and you encounter a lost person, you should show them how to get out. Oh, are you lost? Oh, bad for you. Sorry. Where are you going? Oh, I know the way, but I'm not telling you. That's like a lot of believers. I got a relationship with Jesus, but yuckadoo, not telling you. Poetic. How we doing, Cheryl? What time is it now? All right, you just keep shouting. I'm there. All right, John 4:28-29. The woman left her water jug. The woman. I mean, here's a woman who'd been married 5 times, and now she's with a guy who's not her husband. Means she's probably being pimped out by this guy. And here she is in the middle of the day because she doesn't want anybody to see her. She doesn't want to run into anybody. So she goes in the middle of the day, but she meets Jesus. She's like, oh no, I didn't want this encounter. But when she encountered Jesus, all of her past did not become a problem anymore. Her past, she literally said, he told me everything about myself and I'm not ashamed. He told me everything about myself and now I'm going to use my past as a platform to tell everybody how great Jesus is. My past that kept me in shame and bondage has now become a platform for me to say, ain't God good? When you encounter Jesus, you're no longer stuck in your miserable rut anymore. You're free. You're free. Settle down over there. You folks are too excited. My goodness. Come and see a man who told me everything. Could he be the Messiah? Come and see. Say, come and see. All right, Luke 4. 37 says, the news about Jesus spread through every village in the entire region. Luke 7, 17, and the news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding countryside. Good news, travels fast. Yes. Have you ever been going to go out to a restaurant with some friends or something, and then they say, you choose the place, we'll meet you there. And then so what do? You want to take them somewhere good because it's on you. Right, you're the one, and when everybody's eating, they're gonna go, oh my goodness, you chose this place. And if you feel responsible now that everybody has a good time, right? When you go on Yelp or whatever, you're gonna check out the restaurants, you're gonna research, you're gonna check TripAdvisor, what's the best place to go. And when you say, we all need to go here, it's gonna be awesome. And then you go and somebody gets a hair in their tuna salad or something, you're like, oh, and then it's on you. It's like you went in the kitchen and you put it there. I mean, you blew it. You know what? This is good news. You should feel confident to tell everybody you need to meet Jesus. You need to encounter Jesus. You need to come to God's house and experience the goodness of God. You should tell everybody this is your church. You should be confident about it. Come 10:30 on Sunday. I hope you don't mind. I hope you don't mind that I saved you a chair. How wonderful life is when you're at Impact Church. Man. I know it's not much, but it's the best I can do. And this is my song. Anyways, let's move on. Now, I said all of that because I was on vacation. And I took my kids with us, so I told them I'm going to get a place and we can all enjoy ourselves together. So I took them, let's pull up this slide, pull this slide up. Okay, this is on homeaway.com, vacation by owners, you know, that site. So we're checking, it's got pictures and everything. So I'm sending Carly and Johnny pictures and stuff. What do you think of this place? Like, I wanted a place that's got two bedrooms with two bathrooms because I like my own bathroom. You know what I mean? And they like me to have my own bathroom. I don't know. Yeah, two bedrooms, one bath, that's not going to work. But I'm looking for two bedrooms, two baths with a pool that's heated and it's on the beach. I'm like, yes. Yeah. So I'm searching, sending them pictures. Here's what the description is. Step into your own private tropical vacation paradise and listen to the ocean waves right outside your door. This two-story luxury townhouse has everything you need for a memorable getaway. With two bedrooms and 2.5 bathrooms, this well-appointed property sits directly on the beach. And there's more description than that, but I don't want to. So then I go, well, that's good. That's them talking about their place, but I better check the reviews. So I start reading the reviews. I'll give you just one. There's a whole bunch, but look at this one. Here's a review. 5 stars. 5 out of 5 stars. Several 5-star reviews. We enjoyed our stay. The condo was very nice and big. The girls really like having their own room and their bathroom. It was like being at home on a vacation. We will be renting again. It's close to everything we need. And there were several really, really good reviews. So I was feeling very, very confident to invite my family, to invite my granddaughter, to invite you to this wonderful experience, taking you away with me. And I found a really good spot for us, and I want you to come, and we're going to enjoy ourselves together. Are you ready? Look at this picture right here. All right. Now that fella is, his name is, I've got it. Yeah, I don't need his name. It's okay. But I asked him, please get in the picture. And if you'll notice, I asked him point to something. And he is the security manager at this resort. So Cheryl and I had been there a night. We're sleeping in the other room. The kids came in and they took this room. And then horrified, last Sunday, while you were here enjoying the presence of God, I had to go get this guy to come in the room and point his finger at that and take a picture for me, because this is what was on the top of that door. I literally began to tremble. And I don't give a rip. Cheryl and I, we're big people. I don't care. But I'm like, Frankie's been running around sticking her hand in the subwoofer and doing things, running all around that place. And I'm like, what if on one of those times when Cheryl's chasing me, because she loves me, and she slammed the door and that fell off. And then what if Frankie came and her foot went on it, or she picked it up, and who knows who used that? I don't know what's on that needle. I'm suddenly going, holy moly. We first of all got to get the stink out of this place. And number two, I got to get a good lawyer because I smell money. So I went down and got the security guy and several other people to witness and get in my picture. The guy's like, you're going to take a picture? I said, yeah. He stepped out. I go, no, 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 step in and point. He wasn't real comfortable with it, but I wanted him to do it. Because I immediately sent this picture and email to their management group. Hard to find a management group on a Sunday. Not because they were all in church. But anyways, when I finally did find them, they said, we'll send the cleaning people back in. I said, no, no, no. You will first of all send me all my money back, every single cent. Because I'm already out of this place. I'm calling another car and I'm out of here right now. But you need to know, you don't have any idea the gravity of what you subjected this family to. Anyways, why I'm sharing that with you is that's a bad experience. So by showing you a really nasty experience, I want to emphasize bringing people to Jesus is a really good experience. You don't have to worry about, you know, people are going to get harmed or hurt or beat up. But you need to feel confident that when you invite people to an experience like that, they're going to encounter something wonderful. How many are still in the room, or how many are going, oh my God, I've lost half the place. You should have seen Carly. She was lit up like a Christmas tree. Holy moly, I tell you, she was tearing everybody she found a new one. And she was telling everybody on the beach with a bullhorn, never go to that place. It was not good news for this place. Even though all their reports were all good, this was not a nice experience for the Thomas family. So we're going back on vacation again next week. No, just crazy stuff. I mean, that is crazy stuff. Go to Acts chapter 1. Let's change your minds. You ready? Go to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. You can change the picture now. It's okay. Thank you. All right. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. You got your Bibles? Turn there with me. Look at it now. Acts chapter 1. This is at the ascension of Christ. Jesus Christ, he died. He was buried. He rose again. Can I get a hallelujah? But see, the ascension is important too. 40 days after he ministered and he taught them all about the kingdom, 40 days after that, he ascended. And 10 days later, the Holy Ghost came. 40 days and then 50 is Pentecost. 50. What does Pentecost mean? Pentecost means 50. That's what it means. 40 days, and then 10 days later, the Holy Spirit came. And the Holy Spirit came because they pleaded with them hard enough to get him out of heaven, and on the 10th day came. No, that's not why he came. He came because it was Pentecost. And he came to them because they were where they were told to be. It wasn't because they were grunting or screaming or shouting. It was because 10 days, 10 stands for test. They passed the test. They were at the right place 10 days after the ascension, and the Holy Spirit came. Boom! But he ascended. This was the ascension. 40 days he'd been teaching the kingdom. And then he takes them up on a mountain. He starts talking to them, and he says this. And as he says it, suddenly he starts to lift off. It's like just amazing stuff. So here it is. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has time come for you to free Israel and for you to restore our kingdom? And he replied, the Father alone has set in his authority the times and the dates, and that is not for you to know. But are you now going to set up your kingdom? Are you now going to kick out Rome? Are you now going to do some more stuff? Are you now going to get all our stuff back? Are you now going to make us awesome? He said, no, it's not even about that. You are going to receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud, and while they were watching, they could see him no longer. I love this, don't you? And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and to the uttermost parts of the earth, 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 earth. Like they're just standing there like, where is he going to come down? Like, did that cloud swallow him? Like, what happened? Where's it going? Like, just crazy experience for them. Look what they said. After this, he's taken up a new cloud, and they're watching. They could no longer see him as they strain to see him. So they're literally like, Peter, I didn't bring my glasses. Can you see any further? Like, they're straining. They're literally, where did he go? What's going on? They're straining to see what's going on. They strain to see him rising into heaven. Then two white-robed men suddenly stood among them, said, men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here? Why are you standing here? Why are you standing here like it's still his turn, like it's still his job to do something? Like, what are you going to do next, Jesus? Why are you standing here? You've got an assignment. You've got a commission. You've got something to do. Move along, little fellas, and get on with what he told you to do. Because there's lots of people out there who need what you've experienced here. So they strain, they're looking, why are you standing here? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way that you saw him go. All right, the word witnesses means martos. Martos is where we get the word martyr. In a legal sense, it's to testify at a trial. In another sense, it's to those who, after his example, have proved the strength and genuineness of their faith in Christ by going and undergoing a violent death. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. That's it. I want you to go be my martyrs. I want you to go lay your lives down for me. I want you to go now, after being with me and experiencing all that you did, I want you to go give yourself away one bit at a time. I want you to literally just give it all for Jesus. It's a good word, huh? Testify, to testify at a trial, to be a martyr. Literally, come on, let's live every day for Jesus. What does that mean? Be my martyrs, be my witnesses, be people who tell other people I'm on a 5-star journey. It's awesome. The view is incredible. The beach is great. The pool is heated. Literally be testifying constantly, being that demonstration of that a life with God is something out of this world. That's what we're called to do. And we want to be a culture that invites. It says, be my witnesses. Be my witnesses. Here, a little 5 points. You ready? Being his witnesses. First, pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. Embrace the fact that you've got the power from on high. Pray for yourself every single day. I got the Holy Ghost and the power from on high. Pray for yourself that you have the grace and everything necessary to be everything God wants you to be. Say be. Say do. It's not do, it's be. Everything you want to be. And then pray for others. You know what? You're probably not going to encounter opportunities to minister to others if you're not actually praying for others. Pray for others. Get others on your mind, others on your heart. Start with your family. Start with your neighbors. Start with, you know, people that are in your world, the people you work with. Yeah, I don't tell people I'm a believer with my job. You're supposed to do that. But, you know, you don't have to tell them with words. Tell them with your life. Because it doesn't say do witnessing, it says be witnessing. You know what's so nasty about some people's witnessing? They're not being a witness, but they know how to blah, blah, blah. But nothing else lines up. You know, God wants you to be a witness. And you know what? If you're going through a mess and you're going through some brokenness, be a witness. How are you going to handle your brokenness? Well, I'm going to handle it like the world does, totally without hope. I'm going to be just like everybody else in the world. I got no hope. This is knocking the snot out of me. That's not being a witness. People are watching you when you go through trials, when you go through difficulties. How you handle difficulties with your kids? How do you handle, you know, situations when your family blows up? How do you handle when you just lose your job? How do you handle life? God's my source. I trust him. I don't, you know, I trust Jesus, love Jesus. Everything in my life is going good. He's so awesome. Ah! Ah! Hello, was that good? If that was good, pat your neighbor and say he's talking to you. All right. All right, it's always better if you apply the sermon to somebody else. All right. Be sensitive to life. Be aware of what's going on around you. There's so many opportunities to touch broken, hurting people. Use the tools. Use the tools. Can I get four ushers? I need four ushers right now. Four ushers. No, really, I'm serious. I need four ushers. You know. Sorry. Oh, they're all back there. So I need you. One person hold the basket, and one person hold this basket. Dig and then give a handful to people. But I want to pass that out to everybody. All right. So use the tools. We're, go ahead. Just pass them around. Everybody gets one, all right? And if your friend's not here, we'll get them one next week. Now, if we didn't use your face, don't be offended, all right? If we did use your face, don't be offended. If we distorted your face, don't be offended. All these were taken off your Facebook, so your face was already out there, so get over it, all right? Okay, so... But we're doing a sermon series that's called Faces, and it's going to be our Easter series. And we're going to talk about faces. We're going to talk about how Jesus came face to face with your problem and your brokenness, where Jesus met you, and God's having a big face-to-face, full-on encounter with you. We're going to talk about faces in the crowd, people who are impacted by that Easter message. And because of that, we made up these cards called Faces. It's a sermon series. It's an Easter sermon series. It's an Impact Church, and then it gives you a little bit of information in the back. And we've given you all at least 10 of these. So they're in those cards. How many think you can give 10 cards away in the next couple of weeks? Because you know what? People think about maybe checking out a church at Easter. They actually do it. They really, really do. And they said that over 80% of those people would attend a church if a friend asked them. How many, the first time you went to church, you went because somebody you know brought you? Don't be afraid to put your hand up right now. You know, nobody usually just wanders in and, I'm just going to go in here. Well, sometimes they do, but yeah. Now, I put something else in the bag, and it's this little round thing, and it's a fishing weight. And fishing weights, why did I use a fishing weight? Because fishing weights are made of lead. And I put that lead there so you can put it in your pocket. Because I get some people who they take the cards, and I say, did you give the cards away? Well, I didn't feel lead, Pastor. So I've put the lead already in the bag for you. So that you can reach in the bag and say, I should give this person a card. But I don't feel lead. Oops, I do feel lead. Oh! So you know what? You got sip, swap, and snack. Say sip, swap, snack. Why do we do that? Because we want to get the garbage out of our garage. No, that's not why we do it. It's not garbage, by the way. Praise Jesus, no garbage. We're not here to fill a dumpster. We're here to take lightly used things. You know, maybe you got a Rembrandt in your cupboard that you're not using. I would love that. You know, but why do we do that? Did you know that we had the most women who don't attend this fellowship at the last sip, swap, and stack? People all brought their friends, come and have some fun with my church friends and just have a really nice time. And then we've had people who've come back to church because they went to a sip, a swap, and a snack. Who knew that was a harvest vehicle? Amen. We did. I mean, Cheryl did. I didn't know. I didn't know. I can't take credit for that one. But you know, there's tools, there's things, there's church picnics, there's Christmas dinners, there's all kinds of stuff. We did the how do you do, you know? Jesus, take the wheel. We did the line dancing the other night. We had a whole bunch of people who don't come to this church. We had over 100 people here, and a lot of them don't usually go to church here. But they were jigging it up and getting it down. Hey! I mean, we're trying to bring people. We're doing everything we can to get people to encounter the goodness of God. Amen? And you know, we want people to come and touch. There are people out there that I care about, you care about. They need to encounter Jesus. Do they need to encounter Jesus? Do they or don't they? Well, if they do, then who's going to do it? Well, you are, Pastor. Well, praise the Lord. No, you are. I am. We are. Don't you understand? This was Jesus' last words to his people. This is what really matters. This is what I really want to get through to you. It's not my turn anymore. It's yours. And I'm going to give you power to be my witnesses, to lay down your life, to bring other people into encounters with myself. Can I get a hallelujah? All right, so come on, make the introductions. Just introduce people to Jesus. You ever introduce somebody to a friend? Hi, I'd like you to meet my wife, Cheryl. It's so easy. Just make the introductions. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? All right, I'm coming to a rapid conclusion. All right. 2 Corinthians 5:20, so we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. Come back. When you say come back to God, that is God himself speaking through you. Come back to God. You just were used by God. You just prophesied over a broken life. Come back to God. That's God himself speaking through you. I like the way the message says it. The message says, we're speaking for Christ himself now. Become friends with God. He's already a friend with you. He's already your friend. He's already your savior. He's already your healer. He's already your friend. He's not some angry guy that, you know, we tremble in church. Oh, God, he's so holy. He is holy, and that's awesome about him, but he's not scary. When he is scary, it's wonderful scariness. I love every aspect of him, and everybody needs to realize he is already your friend, all right? Now, I want to show you a picture of a gal named Linda Wilson Allen. Linda Wilson Allen, there she is. And she, let's say San Francisco. How many think that might be some tough soil? I mean, that is kind of a creepy spot. Most prophets have already said that it should have fallen off the face of the earth already. Thank God they were wrong. You know, but here's San Francisco. This lady is a bus driver on Route 45 in San Francisco. That's her right there. That is Linda Wilson Allen. Now, she's been driving that bus for years. But you know what? She wakes up at 2:30 every morning, and at 2:30 to 3 o'clock, she prays for her bus ride. She prays for her route. She prays for the people who are regulars that she's been seeing every day. She prays for the guests that are coming and the newcomers, and she prays that they would encounter God. Here's what she prays. She said she asked God to take out anything in her that doesn't reflect him and to fill her with love for all she meets in her day. She said she can guarantee God will answer the prayer about taking out anything that doesn't reflect him. Every day when she gets on her bus, she says, take anything out of me that doesn't reflect you. I only want people to see Jesus today. Every person on my route, every person, these regulars, it became like family to her. She liked scarves. People would constantly come in and give her new scarves. They said they saw that she loved scarves. They knew the favorite food she had. They knew all kinds of stuff. There were wealthy people who used her bus that literally gave her holidays and amazing resorts, places she probably couldn't afford to buy on her salary, but she's going those places. Why? Because she's generous with who she is and what she's doing, and therefore, whatever those people got, she's got because she's blessed her community. She doesn't have to own some five-star thing in Hawaii. Somebody in her world does, and because she loves them, they're offering it to her for free. She doesn't even have to pay the user fees. Here's a person, and this was written by a fellow in the San Francisco Chronicle, wrote an article. This wasn't in a Christian magazine. It was in the San Francisco Chronicle on the front page. On the front page of the San Francisco Chronicle is Linda Wilson Allen testifying of how awesome Jesus is, and she got on the front page by bringing Jesus to work every day. Hey. Like, and the guy who wrote it because I've been taking the bus myself for years and years. She's been my bus driver. And she said, there's times that I'm running a little bit behind, and she knows that I'm usually coming down the stairs, and she'll stop just for 10 or 20 seconds, just make sure I'm not sick. I might be running behind. And she'll just go, a couple of light little beeps. And she goes, Sam, beep, beep, I'm here. And I come running. And she gets off the bus every time she gets off. Folks, that's my day. My route is over. I love you all. And then she walks off, and he said in his own words, he said, when she says it, you know she means it. That's Jesus on the front page of the San Francisco Chronicle. Lives being touched and transformed every single day. You can Google her. You can look her up. You'll find all kinds of stuff. Give me another slide. Study. They did the studies, a missional study by a guy. They sent a group of people who wanted to do missionaries. These were people who wanted to go to Thailand. They were going to start businesses in Thailand, and they were going to Thailand, though, to start businesses, but for the purpose of converting the nation. All right, so two groups of people divided into two groups. They followed these two groups for 5 years. One group was called the blessers. The other group was called the converters. So it says, the study followed these two different groups for 5 years. Do you know what the results of the study were? The study found that the blessers had far greater social impact in their area and 50 times as many conversions as the converter group. 50 times. The group that wanted to convert, they went and just used their platform and their business and everything to preach and to teach and to talk about Jesus to the people. The other groups used their business as a platform for social outreach, social change, touching and helping and blessing people. The blesser group reached 50 times, had 50 times more conversions than the group that called themselves the converters. Be a witness. What are you doing? What are you being? What are you demonstrating? Would the people next door want to go on a camping trip with you for the weekend? Hey, want to go camping this weekend? What? Give me another slide because I'm wrapping up quickly here. Does anybody know what that is? That's the cone of silence. It's actually turned around. It's right back there on the roof. I've had people say, where do you store the baptismal tank? In the roof. No, the baptismal tank in the roof. No, really, they're about to turn around. It's right there. It's in the roof. But I wanted you to see that because look at this. I just took a picture of one side. If you can see inside, you can see from the other sides too, there's names. But just right there, there's over 17 people who've signed their baptismal tank just on that side. And there's signings all the way around the baptismal tank of people whose lives are being transformed right here. Lives like Joey, lives like Stefan, lives like Kathleen. It's just incredible what's happening. People are being transformed. People are being touched. People are being moved upon. And I love that we're signing a memorial there. I'm looking for the day when that thing is just so covered, we got to get different colors and different things. And it's like living graffiti of people's transformations that have taken place because this community has thought it's important to invite. It's important to introduce people to Jesus. And it's also important to introduce them. You haven't discipled people until they come to a baptismal tank and until they reach a communion table. That's when you've discipled people. It didn't say go make decision makers. It said go make disciples, baptizing them. I mean, getting them into a community where they're cared for and they're loved. Can I get an amen? I'm going to show you one more thing, and this is a video, and Sue's going to pull it up for me right now. And this is a video of Sir Nicholas Winton.
All the letters. But back here is the list of all the children. This is Vera Dearmont, now Vera Gissing. We did find her name on his list. Vera Gissing is with us here tonight. Hello, Vera. And I should tell you that you are actually sitting next to Nicholas Winton.
And it was just so wonderful, so terribly, terribly touching.
Can I ask, is there anyone in our audience tonight who owes their life to Nicholas Winton? If so, could you stand up, please?
All right, now that was a fella named Sir Nicholas Winton, and he began an operation in World War II called the Czech Kinder Transport. The Czech Kinder Transport. He organized the rescue of and the passage to Britain of 669 mostly Jewish Czechoslovakian children destined for the Nazi death camps. Pretty amazing all those years later. And this was a show that they did in the UK. It was actually done, I think, in 1988. But it was a show called, I think, This Is Your Life or something. But they had him come on, and they brought in as many people as they could find that were still alive or in the region or in the area that they could come and say that they were people that he got out of Czechoslovakia when they were destined to go to the death camps. Now, that's got to be pretty cool for that guy. I mean, he shed a couple tears when he sees these are people who are alive today. Because it mattered to me. You can't take anything else with you when you go to heaven. There's nothing else you can take with you. You came in naked, you're going to leave naked. But one difference you can make, and I believe this is where it says there's reward in heaven. I believe the only reward is, and I think I can show it doctrinally clearly, that the reward is those you take with you. And if you really want reward, I had a screen that said here and there. And here, maybe you can find that one for me. It's just here. You know, when you got, see, there's here. You folks are here, right? Are you here? Well, look at this shot. There. There is what really matters. And I get a little concerned when the church gets too introspective. And you're never going to have revival if you're introspective. If you lose your understanding of what you're here to do, if the next great event was just to get you to heaven, God would just take you. No big deal. That's just such a narrow, narrow perspective of what God wants for you. If your next great thing is just to experience more of him, you can't get any more than you already have. It's not like he's been holding out on you. You can get greater revelation of it. But why not get a greater revelation of this? People out there matter. What's going on out there? And I'm sharing this and I'm not trying to be mean because I don't want to make this religious. This should be a natural outflowing because I showed you all the people who encountered Jesus, they immediately use their shame or whatever as a platform to say, I found Jesus. You know, here we want to make sure that we don't lose as a part of our culture. Invite means come and see Jesus. Come and see Jesus. Who are you going to tell this week, come and see Jesus? Who are you going to share with this week? How are you going to live your life this week in light of the fact that everybody is watching you? How are you going to do? And don't live it as performance. Live it out of the fruit, the natural outworking, the fruit of being connected with God. You know, don't go put a sign over your head and say, repent, you're all going to hell. As much as that was pretty cool, I thought the lady was neat. You know, I don't know. There's a lot of people ignoring her. But, you know, man, because I don't know if anybody will get to church because of that sign, because all of you got to church because of a person. All you got to church because somebody invited you, a family member, somebody. Even my cousin got saved at a Billy Graham crusade. And I thought, well, he got saved at a Billy Graham crusade. But then I thought about it. But it was my cousin Pam who dragged him there. And actually, I don't think he went to see Billy Graham. I think he thought Pam was hot. So he went to the Billy Graham thing because he thought, well, if she's inviting me, I'm going. So you know what? If you're hot, invite somebody to church. Well, they could come thinking, I'll go, she's hot, you know, and then they'll run into Jesus. You don't want somebody who hasn't run into Jesus anyway. And if you think he's hot, get him hotter, you know. Anyways, I don't know how I got down there, but we're going to pray for you right now, all right. But listen, please, 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 please. I'm going to be praying really hard, working really hard. I want to develop these sermons in a way that people will encounter Jesus. I'm going to please pray for us this week because we're going to be going down to Jamaica and we're preaching healing and freedom and liberty. I'm going hard after sickness. I want the whole island to get healed. Oh, don't be silly, Pastor. Why not? So be praying for us as we go. We got a great team going with me. I'm so excited about them. And we're putting a roof on a church. How awesome is that? We'll show you pictures. You guys are putting a roof on a church in Jamaica next week. Come on. How awesome is that? And we're preaching in a tent that you guys put up. Man, how awesome is that? Wow. All right, stand up. Come on. Please, let's invite. Let's do this. Let's do this really, really big. Let's do this. Why? Because people out there need what's in here. People out there need what's in here. People out there matter to God. Can you bow your heads, close your eyes? Jesus. Just got to ask. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus and you don't know that he's already your friend, I want you to know that. I'm speaking. It's the very voice of God now. Come back to God. Come back to God. That's God himself touching your heart right now. And I want you to come back to God. And I just want to pray with you through that whole process, all right? So I'm going to count to three. I'm going to go one, two, three. And if you want to pray with me as I pray, I'm going to ask you to put your hand up, all right? You ready? One, two, three. Just throw your hand up really high where I can see it. Thank you. Anyone else? Lift your hand up really high. Really high where I can see it. Anyone else? Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Okay, you can put your hands down now. Hey, if you didn't put your hand up, you still want to pray it, pray it with meaning. You ready? Just say this with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for being my friend. Thank you for dealing with my sin. Thank you for restoring me to my Father. I declare that you are my Savior, you are my healer, my deliverer, and my Lord. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit. Testify in my heart that I am a child of God. Thank you for saving me, for restoring me, and healing me. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow. So you might have somebody tap you on the shoulder and do a little follow-up with you, okay? And that's because we just want to make sure you're not just a decision maker, but we want you to really be fully discipled in the love of Jesus. I love this church. I love you folks immensely. The affection I have for you is incredible. And you know, he's brought us together for a real amazing time. And we're encountering him in a big way right now. We're stepping into a real significant season as a fellowship. And as we go through the Easter season, it's going to be a big deal. I want you to be praying about it a lot. Pray for it a lot. And pray about that. Pray that, you know, God just fills this place with people who need to experience this healing touch. There's some of you got healed today. You don't even know it. You're going to go home. You're going to realize you really got healed today. The name of Jesus is powerful. Please send us an email. Tell us about it. We want to know because we want everybody else to hear what God did in your life. Amen? Can I get an amen? All right. Father, bless each one here. Thank you for them. I command your richest blessing. Father, may your love invade every heart. Jesus, your grace wrap and surround each one. Holy Spirit, thank you for your partnership in all that we do, that you are faithful, that you work in and through us. So we commit ourselves. You put me on like a garment and speak in and through me. I am an oracle of God. I send these folks into the mission field. I send those that are in here out there to really touch and impact their world. In Jesus' precious name, and everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have an awesome, awesome day.